Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Just in time for Christmas, it's a brand new best podcast in baseball. We talk about the counterintuitive Christmas season the Cardinals have had. They trade a starter, then go shopping for a starter. This past week, they trade Wilson Contreras, a right-handed bat in the middle of their lineup and one of their fury and joy players. And now they're out looking to add a right-handed bat. With Post-Dispatch editor Nathan Mills, I try to make sense of these Cardinal moves and what they're really trying to achieve. And also the hole they're opening that they really have to fill. Cue the music. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the best podcast in baseball, brought to you by Closets by Design of St. Louis. I'm St. Louis Post-Dispatch baseball writer Derek Gould, joined this Christmas Eve by an editor who is like, gosh, Nathan, like, you know, part of being an editor is like being a baseball writer is late nights, and here we are early in the morning cranking out a podcast. How many coffee cups are you in?
Listen, I'm not a coffee guy, but you can tell by looking at me, I'm definitely a Mountain Dew guy, and I'm about 6 in so far, and I've been awake for an hour and a half. So
this is a podcast, so what does a Mountain Dew guy look like?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I forget that the video and the audio aren't the same thing, huh? Fat, mostly. That's how I would describe myself. I can't speak for all Mountain Dew guys, just myself.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah. I'm a coffee guy, so I guess that means that, like, you can't pick up. I don't know what that makes me look like.
I don't know. My wife's a coffee girl, and you don't look anything alike, so I guess it doesn't have anything to do with it.
That's good. The Cardinals traded Wilson Contreras, and you'll find a lot of similarities with this deal compared to the other deal that the Cardinals made this season. In both cases, an all-star. In both cases, a multi-time all-star is being traded out. In both cases, that player is being traded to Boston. In both cases, the return is a major league pitcher, a pitcher ready to be in the majors who has already been in the majors, and a high upside younger player down in the organization who has a higher ceiling, right? Lower in the ceiling, lower in the organization, higher in the ceiling. And then the other similarity is immediately after the Cardinals pivot to say, well, now on our shopping list is a guy like the one we just traded. So Cardinals trade Sonny Gray to the Boston Red Sox. In return, they get two pitchers, Richard Fitz, who could go right into the rotation, and Brandon Clarke, who goes right into their prospect rankings. And then a few weeks later, they go out and sign starter Dustin May. This past week, right on the brink of the Christmas holiday, the Cardinals trade Wilson Contreras, who also had a no-trade clause. Gosh, there's so many similarities with these two deals. Wilson Contreras also has a no-trade clause. He waives it to go to the Boston Red Sox. In return, the Cardinals get Hunter Dobbins, who is ready to go into the majors and will compete with Richard Fitz for a spot in the rotation. They get Blake Ida, who is a lower-level starting pitcher. And then they get, I'm gonna pronounce it carefully, Yoiker Faraja, who is...
I'm so glad that you said that, because I would have butchered that.
No, I'm hoping that... I've asked around. I hope I got it right. But he's a teenager who has all the high upside, similar to like Brandon Clarke, right? You know, wiry at pitcher with a lot of power moving his way up. Potential high ceiling, but also, you know, some risk that whether he advances to AAA, let alone the majors, all those things, right? And then the Cardinals in the press conference to discuss it say that now they'll be looking for a right-handed bat. I find this, I mean, we know what they're doing, right? Like they're moving the veterans at the higher dollar, and they're trying to replace them with younger models who they control for more. So they're giving up the salary and the certainty and the presence of veterans and also the message of veterans that they're there to contend now, and they're trading that symbolically and actually for lower cost, more control, except for in the case of Dustin May, and a different kind of attitude in the sense that we're not bringing in guys or paying for veterans to lead us to contention. We're going to grow into contention. That's effectively what's happened, is they need a right-handed bat. They had a right-handed bat in Wilson Contreras, but they wanted to move that right-handed bat in order to get younger at the right-handed bat, more control at the right-handed bat, less certainty at the right-handed bat.
Yeah, I think it's a couple of things, right? I mean, it's a little bit of the season, you know, like the Cardinals are shipping out their expensive players, taking shots on new guys. It's just like when my wife throws out all my old t-shirts and buys me new, nicer shirts, you know, like button-ups and Henleys and stuff. And like, listen, I may not ever wear those shirts, right? Mm-hmm. But they're nice, you know, I might wear them somewhere nice sometime, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of the same thing here. You know, we've gotten rid of some old shirts. We know we love those shirts. I love those shirts, you know? It's time to grow up. I'm 38 years old. You know, it's time to start wearing some button ups, you know, and I think that's kind of where we're at. It's not a matter of growing up. It's a matter of accepting our reality. You know, you can have a Sonny Gray and a Wilson Contreras talk to their blue in the face about being here to compete. But the reality is this team hasn't been competitive in what, 3 years at least, you know? Well, so,
yeah, that's an interesting point you make too, about like the messaging, right? Like they don't want to put the veterans in a spot where they have to fake it, I guess, or they have to mislead, like, because you can bet that if veterans were around and this is the team that they had in spring training, they would talk about, oh, we're going to surprise some people. And they the young guys may still say that.
Dobbins did in the story you did this morning.
Right. He didn't say this year. Like,
yeah. No, but he did say maybe things come together quickly and we surprise some people or something.
Yeah. And you know, he built towards that as opposed to like making that the thesis statement.
But that's
I enjoyed my conversation
messaging
with him. It was fascinating
to
talk with him about how he's used his rehab to kind of pitch craft and work on things and abandon a splinker, but add a sinker, and how that's kind of helped him kind of get through with purpose during this knee rehab. But the messaging, what do you make of that?
I think it's reflective of how the front office has changed. You know, I mean, we spent the last couple of years talking about how, listen, this is still the same team it always was. Even if the talent wasn't here, we're still, you know, playoffs or bust, right? And that wasn't realistic. And that messaging has changed from the front office. This is no longer runway. This is no longer reload or, you know, any of those rewords. It is a rebuild. I think Lynn Worthy, one of our columnists, laid it out really well this week in a column in which he detailed what he called full tilt rebuild, and that it was time the Cardinals embraced that. And I agree with Lynn. And I think that messaging starts at the top and is being played out in some of these actions.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. And I think, that was a good column because he looked at a lot of different facets of what it means. And, you know, I think the Cardinals have put themselves, you know, certainly every action is geared towards moving on from what they were. I mean, you think about it, just the two trades with Boston, right? Where you go, they came out of 2023. They were in desperate need of pitching. Sonny Gray was such a fit. They go and sign Sonny Gray to what could have been their first really $100 million deal with a pitcher and one of their largest deals for a free agent outside the organization, right? And they install him. This is the guy who's going to lead the organization, right? He's the guy who's going to drive the rotation. A year earlier, after Yadier Molina retired, they go out in the market and they sign Wilson Contreras to the largest free agent deal for a guy outside their organization, right? That they're able to complete. And they're like, all right, here's the heir. This is the guy who's going to take over as catcher. He's very excited to do so. This whole, every move was like, all right, how do you replace the person you had who was leading a contender with a free agent who can then slide right in to lead that contender? And in back-to-back moves, they've traded both of them. It's like they've taken the Etch-a-Sketch and shaken it and undone two of their biggest free agent moves of the last 5 years. I don't think that that can be ignored.
No, but I think there's also something to be said for, and listen, this isn't their fault, and honestly, probably not the organization's fault. It just is what it is. But there's something to be said for not replacing an icon, you know, being the guy to follow a Yadi Molina, being the guy to follow, not necessarily directly, but follow what Adam Wainwright, for example, you know, and Gray taking over atop the rotation, you know. So, you know, I think there was, I think there were probably some expectations for both of them that were never realistic, and I don't necessarily mean from the team, just from, you know, fans and even media in to some degree, you know, and they were never going to achieve those. And I think once the wheels started to come off elsewhere, it kind of makes it a little easier, you know, if those guys are at least willing to move them.
Another element of this, Nathan, is like, what holes do they leave behind? Because the Cardinals, shortly after trading Sonny Gray, they go and sign Dustin May. Shortly after trading Wilson Contreras, they talk about wanting to add a right-handed bat. But there's another thing missing as they leave, as they depart to go to Fenway Park. And that's like, where's the leadership aspect? I think, you know, there should be ballads written about Wilson Contreras' time with the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
And what he gave to them, what he put up with, what he powered through, what he was willing to do, how much he put his heart into it. This is a guy who plays with such fury and such joy. And, you know, that can be contagious. That can be important. Like, that's important for a clubhouse to have.
I like that you coughed a little bit, right? As you said, contagious. That's how, like, you caught it, I think. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you hear the fury and the joy in my coughs?
I can't. I'll tell you the other thing, Derek, about Wilson Contreras, and you mentioned not just his fury and what he put up with, but not only did he do it, he did it well, you know, like,
yeah,
he took it when he was moved from behind the plate. He, you know, when he moved to first base permanently, he became a plus fielder there, you know, I mean, and still hit the way he's always hit, like, not just ballads, you know, written about what he dealt with and how, you know, how great he was, you know, in the clubhouse, but he backed it up. You know, and that's the real thing that I think, you know, you talk about leadership and yeah, they're going to need a vocal clubhouse presence. They're going to need somebody to kind of rally the troops. Who that's going to be right now, I don't know. Maybe it's a Mason Wynn type. Maybe it's one of these guys in the next core. But, you know, in terms of having that in the locker room and then going out and proving it, you know, showing that you back up what you say. Nobody did that in the last few years better than Wilson Contreras, as far as I'm concerned.
And you look downstream to some of the trades that they're considering. Brendan Donovan, another presence, a gritty guy who, you know, they want, like, you know, personifies the style of play that they want to have. Jojo Romero, the most experienced member of the bullpen, who has late game understanding, has had 2 years now with Andrew Kittredge and Phil Maton in there. He's now that guy. Nolan Arenado, the 10-time Gold Glove winner, likely Hall of Famer. I mean, certain Hall of Famer at this point.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. Yet.
Veteran presence, you know, MVP finalists, all that stuff. You know, so in one winter, if this goes the way they want it to go, you know, it's Gray out, Contreras out, Donovan, you know, maximized for the return he could get. JoJo, same way. Nolan Arenado, five of the most experienced and largest personalities and figures in that clubhouse will be elsewhere. I mean, it's just such a hard reset from what the Cardinals have really pledged for a full generation now, multiple generations, really, this kind of continuity of Cardinaldom, you know, the
Cardinal. I like that, Cardinaldom.
Yeah. The, you know, Daryl Kyle to Pat Hankin, or I'm sorry, Pat Hankin, Pat Hankin, Chris Carpenter, you know, Adam Wainwright to the young, to Lance Lynn and the young pitchers who followed him. You know, Yadier Molina, the constant presence, the constant performer, you know, all that, except for the one time, you know, there late in his career when he left to be with his basketball team. You know, there is just this continuity of one group passing along the notion of being a Cardinal, the notion of contention, the expectations of the city to the next. And what we have here this winter is not a passing of the torch. It is an, it could be an extinguishing.
Yeah, you put the torch out. Yeah.
And asking somebody else to relight it. Am I over dramatizing this holiday season?
No. Well, yeah, it's a little bit like a Hallmark movie, but listen, I'll tell you, I think that, you know, it's going to be rough. And I think that the preparations have already started to like prepare fans for that, right? Like there's no more talk about runway. There's no more talk about reload. Like I don't think they've actually used the rebuild word yet, but like that's what this is. And yeah. This is, you know, the no more half measures of the past few years that we're all in. I think Lynn Worthy, one of our columnists, called it this week, full tilt mm-hmm. rebuild. And that's what it is. And, you know, the benefit coming out of that, should you do it well, is that you will have those guys on the other side. You know, you're buying a lot of lottery tickets for talent. Yes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are going to be guys in there who become your locker room guys, your clubhouse guys. Maybe it's Mason Wynn. Maybe it's JJ Weatherholt. Maybe it's somebody not even in the organization right now. I have no idea. But I think there's kind of light at the end of that tunnel, you know, and I think one of the exciting things for Cardinals fans is that, yes, this is sort of a hard reset. Yes, we're kind of putting out the torch, to your point. But, man, how's it going to feel when that new torch lights, right, and lights the path after a couple of years of darkness? You know, how good is that going
to
feel?
But is that asking a lot of a young team to get all flint and steel on this, right, to say, hey,
sure,
you need to, you know, in the past, it's like, look, you didn't start the fire. Just keep it burning. You know, now it's like
the fire.
Sorry. Yeah. No, it's all right.
I got a little late. I got a little bit of the ADD there. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. California baseball. I think, you know, is that a lot? Just to is it a lot to ask of a young group to like, hey,
of course,
all right,
of course it is.
Start something new here.
But here's the thing: I don't know that they're being asked to do that yet.
Okay.
It kind of feels to me like they're not being asked to build yet. They're just being asked to pour a foundation. And listen, I've never done concrete work, but it feels like, you know, that would be
interesting.
The best, you know, the easiest way to go is, listen, you guys are gonna lay the foundation. One of you may light the torch, it may be somebody else, but we're not looking for the torch to be lit today. We're looking for the torch to be lit 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now. And right now, all we're doing is just pouring a little kerosene on there. You know, we're getting the torch ready.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting thing because it's like, you know, it's the potential here for the Cardinals is the guy who leads their rotation is here mm-hmm. for a year, maybe. No, is here for a year. If everything goes well, Dustin May is either a Cardinal for a year or a Cardinal for 4 months, right?
And I think in the best case scenario, he's a Cardinal for 4 months. But that's it, right? You know, we're talking about light at the end of the tunnel. We're talking about who's going to light the torch. It doesn't have to be Dustin May. No. It might be somebody you get in July when you trade Dustin May.
Absolutely. But it's such a departure from the previous, you know, continuity, right? There's
just, yeah. Well, but you keep saying that. And I think we've talked before about, you know, kind of the Cardinals have had a kind of a very old way of doing things for a mm-hmm. long time.
Yeah.
And it very much feels like the game has passed them by. And I think they realize that. And I think you're seeing that played out in, not just player acquisition. So we can talk about players till we're blue in the face, but you've seen that over the past 2-3 years as they've built out minor league infrastructure. They've built out technology infrastructure, data infrastructure. You know, they have realized that they were behind the curve, not necessarily in terms of roster building or in terms of, you know, you talk about the Cardinal way, right? Or even you go back to like the devil magic, right? Like mm-hmm. those are cultural things that other clubs can't replicate. That's still there. I mean, I think that's the heart of this club. I think, you know, it's not going to feel good.
Yeah.
And I think we all know that for the next couple of years, but the fans are still there. They still believe it. The DeWitts are still there for as much criticism as they take. They believe it, you know, and I think Bloom, we haven't, you know, gotten to see a lot of him yet, but it sounds like he believes it with the understanding that, listen, we have to come at this with a modern approach. We can instill that culture in a team built with a modern approach. And then, you know, we become what we were before, where it was, you know, we can compete every year. We reload through our own system, so on and so forth.
Yeah. It's really interesting that the modern approach might be kind of a deeper change, even like an ethos change
than just an infrastructure change or a data change or a scouting change, that it might go so deep as to rewire the very, you know, things that an organization values, such that, you know, it edits the narrative, right? Like it would go right there to the very narrative of what the Cardinals have valued for so long. You know, and it is that group that moves from one to the next, the lines you could draw, the constant Hall of Famer that was in the lineup or in uniform, right? That all of that is radically going to change under the guise of trying to get back to where they were, but with a modern sensibility that's not connected to history. I think, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's all a good thing. Like, I don't know if abandoning a brand like that,
it's an adjustment.
It might win, but at what cost? Like, are you losing your identity?
I don't, you know, if winning is your identity, does any other identity matter?
That's not an easy answer, man.
Like, it's not, but if the Cardinals, listen, if the Cardinals started winning like the Dodgers are winning, do you think people would complain about that? You know, fans, do you think media would have complaints about that? I mean, it seems like that would be the ultimate goal, right? Is to be able to replicate what's going on over there. Not maybe, and you know, even better, you know, the way the Cardinals are set up, doing it without spending, what is it, like $14 billion or whatever their payroll is now, you know? That can be done. It is possible. We see teams do it. You know, you supplement that with a little bit of extra money, right? But you don't have to go, you don't have to be Steve Cohen. You don't have to be Magic Johnson. You know, you don't have to spend that kind of money. And I think that's the goal. I think that's what we've heard them talk about this whole offseason, the past couple of years, is, you know, we're going to build this out so that we have the same kind of infrastructure as these teams. So we're producing the major league talent, you know, that they're producing. You start doing that, you start winning. I don't know that any of the rest of it will matter at the end. And I know there are a lot of Cardinals fans. I know that this is a fan base kind of steeped in history and steeped in culture and tradition, but man, it's really easy for a lot of that to fall away when you start winning with a new method.
What a way to start the 100th anniversary of their first World Series championship. What a way to go into 2026, 100 years removed from that 1926 championship, the first St. Louis. What a way to go, just a completely new way. I mean,
brother,
this is what they've accepted. Yeah. And this is, you know, I mean, they're too deep into it now to pivot.
Right. And that's the thing I think that gets lost in this a lot. Like, I think, you know, I see a lot of chatter that, you know, why is this happening now? Or what, like, the thing is the can was kicked down the road for too long. You know, I think that's pretty obvious. I think this is a thing that probably should have been done, not just, you know, 2 or 3 years ago when the wheels kind of started to fall off, but probably 5, 10 years ago when that run sort of started to peter out from, you know, 2006 to 2015-ish, when that run started to peter out, that's probably the time that would have been wise to do this. You know, you've talked a lot about a core and these guys coming up together. You know, you go back to 2015, you look at that Royals team, those guys all came up together. Those guys all stuck together and were kind of pulling in the same direction, pulling for each other. After 2015, you know, that Cardinals core, those guys, you know, the Molinas, the Wainwrights, listen, everybody loves those guys, but they were all on the downturn of their careers. And instead of making plans to replace them and, you know, heading that direction, we got a lot of what we have now, which, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of talent in there. You know, I love guys like Herrera, like, just speaking to catcher specifically, love guys like Herrera, but I think we've seen that it's not enough the last few years. And so, you know, yeah, this is jarring happening now the way it's happening, but the reality is it probably should have happened 10 years ago.
That's really interesting. Yeah, one thing that the Cardinals and the Royals that you mentioned share from that core time is a generational Hall of Fame level catcher, Salvi Perez, out in Kansas City, the Royals, who still call Missouri home, and then Yadier Molina, the you know, obviously the longtime Cardinals catcher. And there's a real understanding that, like, look, you know, when you have a catcher like that, so many things
become possible covers up for so many weak points elsewhere. Pilots the team through, leads the team through. You know, when we talk about like what the Cardinals have to develop and what they have to fill, it's not just roles. It is also presence. And, you know, the departure of Wilson Contreras, who they signed to replace Yadier Molina at catcher. You know, the departure of him, that leaves a presence that has to be filled. Do you think if we look at the Royals, and you can also look at the Giants, and we can cherry pick examples, but as we look at like where that next, not just contributors come from in the Cardinals world, but the next presence comes from in the Cardinals world, does that have to be a catcher?
Have to be? No.
But are they better if it is a catcher?
It kind of seems that way, doesn't it? Right. You look at the Royals, Salvi Perez, you look at the Giants, Buster Posey, you look at the Cubs, David Ross, you know, granted that's in that same era from 10 years ago.
Right.
Is Will Smith the same as those guys?
Absolutely.
To that degree, I don't know about that, but
I don't know, man.
He's like, great. He's a great player. I don't mean to take anything away from him. He just doesn't seem like that type of leader like those guys.
I'll make an admission here. I underestimate Will Smith at my own peril. Like when he signed his deal, I was like, wait, what? Like what? Like that
was the reaction I had. Yeah.
It was like, that's a lot to pay for that guy. And that, you know, but then, you know, you ask around and I started like talking and you watch the postseason and it's like, you know what? No, the Dodgers are aware that this is their guy, and kudos to them for ratcheting up, you know, the offer to what really was a record sum. But he also is hitting in the middle of a pretty strong lineup when you look at it, and he does okay. He does really well. And, you know, I underestimate Will Smith. I watched him at the All-Star game and everything. And I was like, is this guy like those catchers, the other catchers we talk about? And you want to go,
About those.
But he certainly paid like it. And maybe we've been wrong.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is he's a great player. I don't mean to take anything away from him as a player. But, you know, you don't see him on the field reacting and leading, at least in the same manner. Maybe he does, and he's just, you know, cooler about it. But you don't see him, you know, leading and you know, fiery like Salvi, like Yadi, like David Ross, like Buster Posey to a different degree. He was never necessarily the fieriest guy in the world, but like was active leader on the field. The Dodgers seem like they have six or seven of those guys. You know, it's not just a Will Smith.
Yeah, they're all responsive to him. I will say that. Like, you get to know them a little bit more, I tried because I was like, I want to understand this. They're pretty responsive to him.
Oh, I bet.
Those young pitchers and the new pitchers that they brought in, there's a level of real trust there that's to be, respected.
Yeah, and part of that's, you know, he's put in the time. He's been there a while. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you go back to the beginning of his career. You remember he was splitting time with Austin Barnes, who was splitting time at second base. You know what I mean? So he's put in the time. Yeah. Well, listen, I love guys who can play catcher and any other position because I'm a big time fantasy baseball guy. So I will take every single one of those.
That's pretty good.
But yeah, you know, you go back to that time and then you fast forward to now, look at where he's started, where he's at now, you know, how far he's come. He's earned that respect, you know, from his teammates. So I get that. Maybe that's where the Cardinals, you know, can look. It's, you know, maybe it's not catcher. Maybe it's the guy who, you know, stuck with it and was kind of gritty and maybe had to beat out an Austin Barnes to get his job, you know. It's not necessarily the position. It's just kind of the player archetype.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Cardinals have Pedro Páez, Yoel Pozo, and Ivan Herrera in the majors. They have Ivan Herrera, who is a few weeks away from getting clearance to begin a throwing program to really see if a healthy arm makes for a stronger arm, makes for a better arm and a better way to kind of patrol base running. He's worked this off season. They got a catching regimen in place for calling games, feeling games, knowing how to get through games, reading hitters, all that stuff. So much so that Chaim Bloom said, look, the support wasn't there for on Herrera to become the best catcher that he could be. And we knew this, their staffing was there. Priorities were different, all that stuff.
Right.
And so he said, no, now they have one with Ethan Goforth running the catching and other people involved. So much so that they are encouraged by what Herrera has been doing, that they want to introduce it to the other catchers, which comes at a good time because you could argue three of their top six prospects, three of their top seven prospects are catchers. Jimmy Crooks, who appeared in the majors this past year, Leonardo Bernal, and Raniel Rodriguez, who has one of the best bats of the group, just a really fast moving young, just live wire hitter. And you want to go, that's real catching depth that the Cardinals could utilize to trade. But the other side of that is, man, that's real catching depth that the Cardinals might be able to like create or have one of these like bedrock cornerstone catchers emerge. And that is what determines when the next Cardinal contention era is. Is that arrival?
I could buy that, you know, but I think, you know, your hope kind of needs to be not that it's going to be one of these six or seven guys, but that it's going to be one of these six or seven guys toward the top of that list, right? Because if it's Bernal, you know, or somebody who's further down the list, if it's your sixth or seventh guy who finally fills that role, great, you've got him, but you've gone through six or seven guys, you've wasted 5 years to get there.
Yeah, that's Rodriguez. Bernal will be in AAA. But I understand exactly what you're saying. It's like you don't want to have to wait 5 years for the package to come together as a catcher, right?
Right. If you have a guy who, you know, let's just call it Pajes, Pozo, Herrera and Crooks, because those four have all been in the major.
Yeah.
You know, if one of those four becomes the guy, then you're in a lot better position in two ways. You know, first of all, you've got yourself set for the next, I mean, assuming health, right? Next 10 to 15 years. But beyond that, you can start trading those guys who are in AAA or lower. And you can start that, you know, it could be the thing that sparks a rebuild, you know. Now, the other thing is like, don't put all your eggs in that basket, because how many catchers become that? You know, how many of those guys are actually in MLB right now that single-handedly as a backstop can change a game for you? I think there are some. I don't mean to suggest that they're so rare that there are only two or three, but it's, you know, it's not 30. I can tell you that, you know, and the Cardinals have to hope that they're one of the lucky few. Maybe Herrera, you know, fixing his arm, that unlocks it and he's ready to go. Maybe we get Yadi Molina back to work with these guys a little bit this season, pass on some of his knowledge, you know. I mean, not always are the best players and you know, doers the best teachers, but man, you know, one of the greatest catchers of all time you have as a resource. And they're using it, but I certainly would like to see them use it more.
A few times when the Cardinals have hired a manager without major league experience and some other moves that, like, you know, I mean, you're going to go back to, you know, the 2004 era, 2003-ish, when Bill DeWitt hired Jeff Lunau, who had no baseball experience. One of the things that Bill DeWitt Jr., the chairman of the Cardinals, has often said is that he will prioritize talent over experience, that experience can be gained, and he would rather identify talent. And to his point, and he's backed that up, you know, has it always worked out? Not entirely, right? That was part of his thinking with Mike Matheny. He brought it up again when it came up with Ollie Marmol, all that stuff, right? And I think maybe some of that is in play with the clubhouse at this point, is they might try to prioritize talent potential, the potential for talent over experience. Where are you on that? Like on this notion that like the Cardinals go from a clubhouse where they had veterans to show the young players the ropes to now they may have a clubhouse if all these trades happen, where the young players are creating the ropes.
Yeah. I think that there is, okay, let me put it to you like this. The way I would look at it is, if you were just watching a baseball game, you're not a fan of the team, you're just watching a ball game, would you rather see, all things equal, money, time, everything else, would you rather see 20, 25, Nolan Arenado playing third base or 2025 JJ Weatherholt playing third base. And I think most people are going to say Weatherholt in that case. You know, and so does Weatherholt come in with the leadership and the, you know, that veteran presence that Arenado can give you? No. I mean, this, you can't, there's no way, you know, to your point, you know, you can always gain experience. You can't gain talent necessarily. And I think that's true, but I also think that, you know, you can gain those leadership things. You know, you can learn how to lead. And I think the Cardinals are set up, well in a handful of ways because of, you know, I think Marmol's a pretty good manager. I think he's commands respect from his ball players. The guys who play for him, generally speaking, seem to love him. And I think that's a good place to start. You know, if he can start as these guys come in, this young core and core of young guys comes in, if he can start kind of putting some of that in them, giving them some ownership of that, I think you'll start to see those guys emerge pretty quickly. But, you know, I'm with DeWitt, talent over experience as often as possible. Particularly in the situation that they're in.
Had a chance to catch up with Hunter Dobbins, the starting pitcher who's ready for the majors, who made his major league debut against the Cardinals, and was now a Cardinal from the Wilson Contreras trade. You know, I think that it was interesting talking with him because we talked about some of the shared history that now these new Cardinals have, right? Yep. He and Richard Fitz are close. Richard Fitz acquired in the Sonny Gray trade. Now they'll be part of the rotation or maybe even competing for the same spot in the rotation. Brandon Clark and Blake Ida, two players from the Boston organization acquired in different trades. Clark from Gray, Ida from the Wilson Contreras thing. They're very close. They've played at multiple levels. They've been, you know, they've shared a place at spring training, all this stuff. Now they're Cardinals. You know, Hunter was describing about how you grow together when you have a connection like that. And that echoed some of what Heim Bloom was talking about as they look to what level of players they acquire. And his idea that he presented, and he talked about this a few times, is this notion that you can put together a young group that grows together, that gathers experience together. And the leadership is catalyzed by not the person who has experience, but the notion of getting experience together. And that can be a powerful element of how you advance it. It can be greater than the sum of the parts because you're going through it together. Okay. I think there's probably something there. I understand it. I see how young players could push themselves. But there seems to be like an ingredient of adjustment to the majors that is missing from that. But maybe that has to be the coaches then and their experience.
It's the coaches a little bit. And part of it is, you know, you said earlier, you can always gain experience, right? And the only way to do that is to go out there and get it. You know, one of the benefits of some of these guys who come up to the majors, and I'm not talking about the teenagers. I'm not talking about the 18 and 19 year olds, but these guys who are 21, 22, 23 years old, squarely in the ballpark of like a JJ Weatherholt, getting them up at 22 allows them to build that experience now. You know, I think we've talked a lot about the Cardinals being 2, 3, 4 years away, maybe longer. You know, do you want to wait 4 years to bring up a guy like that so you have a veteran presence? I wouldn't, you know, so you bring him up now and let him start. I'm not saying Weatherholt's that guy. Maybe he is. But you bring him up now and let him start building that so that, you know, if you believe that you need a singular clubhouse voice or a series of singular clubhouse voices sort of lifting the rest of the ships, then you need to bring him in now and get him going. But I think the benefit to having a core like that and coming together at the same time to the big, you know, not necessarily the exact same time, but over the couple of years together, coming to the big leagues, those guys, you know, instead of pulling everyone by themselves, they pull together. And I think that's kind of the big thing, right? Like, you know, it's, you don't want to have one guy trying to pull everybody up. And I think that's kind of the way a lot of like this, like the leadership kind of stuff gets framed, is it's this one guy leading the club. And I think you're better off if you've got, you know, 7-10 guys who have kind of come up together, not necessarily all position players or all pitchers or whatever. You've got a mix of guys, but have all come up in the same 3-4-5 year window, and they pull together in the same direction. You know, it's a team of horses rather than a single horse. You know, and I think the Cardinals have acquired a lot of potential horsepower in the past few weeks. It's just a matter of seeing that actually come to fruition.
It's the way I think of it is, what's changing for the Cardinals is, instead of inheriting something, they're asking these young guys to create something. Instead of inheriting it, they then have ownership of it.
Yeah, and isn't that exciting in a way? Like, man, if you want guys who care, if you want guys who are passionate, you talked about the fire and the fury of a Wilson Contreras. I don't know if there's any way, other way to build it than to go, here you go. Here are the keys to the kingdom. This, you know, this is not the Cardinals of 2012. This is not the Cardinals of 2004. These are the Cardinals of 2025. Or 2026, I guess, about to head that direction. These are the Cardinals of 2026, and it's yours. Here, this is your Ferrari. Well, maybe not a Ferrari right now. This is your, I don't know, Prius maybe right now, something like that. But the keys are yours. Take it out and drive. And, you know, it's like, I don't know if you remember being 16 and getting that first drive on your own and that first little bit of, you know, man, that felt good. And I think that a lot of these young guys are going to be able to come up with that, develop that, and hopefully they have that same realization, take that ownership and take control of trying to, you know, sort of write their own destiny rather than, you know, what, you know, and you and I have done it too, but the destiny that everybody else is assigned to them.
That is Post-Dispatch editor Nathan Mills, a regular contributor here on the best podcast in baseball. Thank you so much for joining me here this Christmas Eve morning to talk through this and to.
Hey, thanks, Derek. Merry Christmas, bud.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you. You got all of the shopping done, gifts wrapped, everything all set.
I got a couple more I got to buy, and then I got a couple more I got to find that I hid too well and now don't know where they are.
Oh,
but, so I might have a couple more I have to buy because I can't find the original I bought. Yeah.
Here's what I hope doesn't happen for you is I have a place where I put the gifts every year. Mm-hmm. Part of my approach, a benefit of traveling as much as I do, is I actually get like my Christmas shopping done pretty early because yeah. I pick it up along the way, like as I'm going from place to place. But here's what happened is I had a gift that I got for my kid. It was really cool. I know exactly where I got it. And each year I'm like, you know, that doesn't fit with this theme, or maybe there's a little bit too much of that. So I'll move it around. And eventually it just got pushed to the back, found it this year. And man, it probably really hard to give a 19-year-old something that was meant for a 11-year-old. So listen, I kind of missed my window on that.
No, listen, you just wait a little longer. I'm 38. Yeah, you know, at 19, if you'd have given me,
great.
Right. At 19, if you'd have given me a gift I wanted at 11, I'd have been very upset. But if you give me a gift at 38 that I wanted at 11, you give me that Nerf gun I wanted at 11, the belt fed job.
Yeah.
I'd be happy. I'd be so happy.
So, yeah. So I just have to like remember to like, all right, I had it stashed for so long that I missed the window to give it.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, at least it wasn't like a puppy.
Another, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe the next time the Cardinals are contending, that's the time to give it. 2011, you know, right around that. Well, I guess 2015-ish is when I got it. So maybe the next. So that's when it'll be right to give again.
Okay, so it's a 10 years. I think 10 years is reasonable. Yeah, I think you could totally do that.
I don't know if fans will really like that. That's not.
No, they won't. They won't.
That's not the holiday cheer we needed to end on here.
I'm a Grinch. Honestly, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
No, it's all right. Give us a happy message.
I feel bad. Here's a happy message. Here's a little holiday cheer for Cardinals fans.
A New Year's welcome.
Yeah, I would say there's a couple of things that I think is really you know, exciting for this young group of guys, right? You talked a little bit about, you know, building that core and coming in together. One of the nice things about two of these guys and three of them really having already been with the Red Sox and coming in together is they already have a little bit of that. You know, they're coming in with that. You talked about, and granted, May wasn't with them as long and didn't exactly overlap with them because of his situation. But, you know, May was in Boston. We've got Fitz and Dobbins, who, you know, were, what did you say, roommates, you know, and you know, have been together, and now they come in together, you know, and I think that they can probably bring a couple of things that might open some eyes, and maybe, and I don't just mean like of fans, I mean of their peers, and maybe help change some things. Dobbins, in the story you wrote the other day, I thought was fascinating, talking about pitchcraft and how much he's, you know, tinkering and toying with things. I think he's a really cerebral player. That was the impression that I got, and I think fans are going to love that about him. You know, if he can bring some of that and sprinkle that on the Cardinals rotation a little bit, and Fitz can come in and sprinkle a little bit of what he does in there, you know, maybe this goes a little faster than what we think. You know, Dobbins said in the story you wrote, you know, maybe we surprise a few people and maybe this happens quicker than people think. 2026, probably not, but I don't think 10 years is far away. That's Merry Christmas to Cardinals fans. I think you're going to be contenders again by 2029. That's my earliest prediction.
That, you can find that story about Dobbins in the pages of the Post-Dispatch and at stltoday.com. That's where you can get all the constant Cardinals coverage through the new year and into a new year as spring training beckons. I had someone text me here recently how many days away we are from spring training. And, of course, the amount of investment that the Post-Dispatch and stltoday.com puts into the spring training coverage there from Jupiter, Florida. You can find the best podcast in baseball wherever you get wherever you get your podcasts. It's available on Spotify, for example. Maybe it was part of your year-end wrap, or iTunes. Rate and review it there. Give us a review so we know what to do in the coming year. Nathan, this has been great. Your first year of BPIB. We're almost near the start of a new season, but we're
so
racing
excited
towards 40 episodes in this season, which is incredible.
Broke the record this season, right? And yeah. Derek, I got to tell you, my New Year's resolution, break it again in 2026.
Well, so maybe your contribution to this continues and we shift seasons. It usually, a new season of the podcast starts with a new season of the year. So episode one is the first one from spring training. So we still got some time to add to this current record.
I say we're gonna finish setting this record and then 2026, 27, then we break it again. That's my resolution.
There you go. Happy New Year, Nathan. Enjoy the holidays.
Hey, see you next year, Derek.
Very well played.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.